Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y, and we're back. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1566, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, June the 11th, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, June the 12th at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. The PL tone is 123.0. And I will now take local check-ins.
PL-123.
Okay, we've got Herbert, KD5PQJ, and we have really appreciated his help for the last week or so in keeping things going, and as well as Bruce, KK5DO, to the extent that we've been able to. We were affected quite heavily by the storms here about 3 weeks ago, or a month ago almost. And so we had a couple of 60-foot trees come down on all of our lines. And so our internet line from Comcast is still laying behind our house in a ditch. But the nice Comcast guy ran a wire from our connection down to that ditch. And that's how we're hooked up to the internet currently. Okay, we'll look forward to getting those things back up on the poles here sometimes in the future. And but things are running, so that's good news. And we do have a little bit of South Texas Balloon Launch Team information. Their meeting, which they have the second Wednesday of the month, is tomorrow. That happens at 4:30 p.m. here locally at a restaurant in town. And then they have a Zoom meeting at 8 p.m. Central Time, where a lot of the real action takes place. And that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter making that available and continuing the efforts there from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. Switch over here to the AMSAT bulletins, and this week's weekly news bulletin is from Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, and the AMSAT news service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. All right, and if you'd like to get the AMSAT weekly news bulletins in your email, you can sign up for free email delivery, and that's over at the ANS list. And to join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Some big news. We had heard some rumblings in the past, but apparently it's becoming official. And the AMSAT mail alias service is to end on August the 1st, 2024. So all of us folks using AMSAT.org for our email addresses, we're going to have to find something else to do. long-standing member service, the AMSAT Mail Alias service, is scheduled to end on August 1st, 2024. A mail alias on AMSAT.org permitted people to send an email to members without knowing their actual internet email address. They just needed to know their amateur radio call sign. Unfortunately, the unchecked rise in domain name hacking and email account hijacking has made it impossible to sustain this service at a cost-effective level. The number of call sign at AMSAT.org email accounts that had been hijacked and converted to zombie spam accounts over the years has led to many internet service providers and gateway centers to ban all at AMSAT.org email addresses, including those business accounts of AMSAT officers and officials. The tireless efforts of AMSAT's all-volunteer IT staff has worked for years to repair much of the damage, but AMSAT still gets complaints from members who are not getting their personal emails, ANS bulletins, or AMSAT BB posts because of persistent delivery problems. It has come to a point where the AMSAT volunteer IT staff can no longer keep up with the maintenance requirements to keep the alias mail list clean and to work with email gateways to remove blocks. And after considerable investigation into alternative paid email services, AMSAT leadership decided that the money required to keep an email alias system alive will be better spent on building and flying satellites for its members. Persons using the mail alias service should begin to migrate to different email accounts so they do not lose receipt of personal emails, AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletins, AMSAT BB Posts, or official messages from AMSAT itself. Members are especially asked to make sure they are not using a call sign at AMSAT.org as their registered email address in the AMSAT membership portal. Members can easily change their registered member email address by logging into the portal and just updating their profile. And we want to thank AMSAT for that sad bit of information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Now, the 2024 AMSAT President's Club coins are here now, so you can help support golf and Fox Plus. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. And field day is coming to get close here. It's just around the corner, a couple of weeks. So we've got the 2024 AMSAT field day announcement. It's that time of the year again, summer and field day. Each year, the American Radio Relay League, the ARRL, sponsors a field day as a picnic, a camp out, practice for emergencies, an informal contest, and most of all, fun. The event takes place during a 23-hour period on the fourth weekend of June. For 2024, the event takes place during a 27-hour period from 1800 UTC on Saturday, June 22nd, 2024, through 2100 UTC on Sunday, June 23rd, 2024, and those who set up prior to 1800 UTC on June the 24th can operate only 24 hours, and they don't get the extra 3 hours that most people use for their setup time. The Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, AMSAT, promotes its own version of Field Day for operation via amateur satellites, and it is held concurrently with the ARRL event. Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AMSAT net.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
All right, and this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. Sometimes somebody shows up at the door at the most inconvenient time, but hey, it happens. Okay, let's see, we're discussing field day here, and this year should be as easy as last year. Say since we have more than 10 transponders and repeaters available. Users should check the AMSAT status page at www.amsat.org/status and the pages at www.amsat.org/2-way-satellites for what is available in the weeks leading up to field day. To reduce the amount of time to research each satellite, see the current FM satellite table, and that's over at amsat.org/fm-satellite-frequency-summary. And the current linear satellite table is at www.amsat.org/linear-satellite-frequency-summary. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, the Houston AMSAT net, and we appreciate Bruce, KK5DO, making these URLs available, so you can find them over at amsatnet.com, and we appreciate that, and it makes it a lot easier than trying to type any of these things. If you want to go look up some of this information, you can just click on the links over there at amsatnet.com. Okay, if you're considering only the FM voice satellites for your field day operations, there is the International Space Station, SO-50, AO-91, and PO-101, and possibly LILAC-SAT. It might be easier this year to make that one FM contact for the ARRL bonus points with so many FM birds. The congestion on FM low Earth orbit satellites is always so intense that we must continue to limit their use to one QSO per FM satellite. This includes the International Space Station. You'll be allowed one QSO if the ISS is operating voice. It was suggested during past field days that a control station be allowed to coordinate contacts on the FM satellites. There's nothing in the rules that would prohibit this. This is nothing more than a single station working multiple QSOs. If a station were to act as a control station and give QSOs to every other field day station, the control station would still only be allowed to turn in one QSO per FM satellite, while the other station would be able to submit one QSO. Format for the message exchange on the ISS or other digital packet satellite is an unproto packet to the other station, three-way exchange required, with all the same information as normally exchanged for an ARRL field day. And as an example, you'd say like W6NWG from KK5DO 2A South Texas. And then the reply would be KK5DO DE W6NWG QSL 5A SDG. And then you'd say W6NWG DE KK5DO QSL, and let them know all the information was received and logged. If you have worked the satellites on field day in recent years, you may have noticed a lot of good contacts can be made on some of the less populated low Earth satellites like RS-44 or AO-7 or the Tevel family. During field day, the transponders come alive like 20 meters on a contest weekend. The good news is that the transponders on these satellites will support multiple simultaneous contacts. The bad news is that you can't use FM, just low duty cycle modes like single sideband and CW.
DL-123.
Okay, we've got the 2024 AMSAT Field Day rules. The AMSAT Field Day 2024 event is open to all radio amateur operators. Amateurs are to use the exchange as specified in the ARRL rules for Field Day. The AMSAT competition is to encourage the use of all amateur satellites, both analog and digital. Note that no points will be credited for any contacts beyond the one allowed each single channel FM satellite. Operators are encouraged not to make any extra contacts via the FM satellites, like on SO50. And CW contacts and digital contacts are worth 3 points. And let's see, the analog transponders, the ARRL rules apply, except each phone, CW, and digital segment on each satellite transponder is considered to be a separate band. CW and digital, like FT4, RGGY, PSK31, etc., contacts count for 3 points. Stations may only count one completed QSO on any single channel FM satellite. If a satellite has multiple modes, such as VU or LS modes, both turn on, one contact on each is allowed. If both ISS stations are operational, one QSO on each mode, being one phone and one digital, is allowed. Contacts with the ISS crew will count for only one contact if they are active. And on Green Cube, you can have one digital contact. The use of more than one transmitter at the same time on a single satellite transponder is prohibited. Okay, and then on the digital transponders, satellite DigiPeak QSOs and APRS short message contacts are worth 3 points each, but must be complete verified two-way exchanges. The one contact per FM satellite is not applied to digital transponders. The use of terrestrial gateway stations or internet gateways, such as Echolink or ILLP, to uplink or downlink is not allowed. For the store and forward hamsats, each satellite is considered a separate band. Do not post CQ messages. Simply upload one greeting message to each satellite and download as many greeting messages possible from each satellite. The subject of the uploaded file should be posted as field day greetings addressed to all. The purpose of this portion of the competition is to demonstrate digital satellite communications to other field day participants and observers. Do not reply to the field day greetings addressed to all. And the following uploads and downloads count also as 3-point digital contacts. Upload of a satellite field day greetings file, one per satellite. Download of satellite field day greeting files posted by other stations. Downloads of non-field day files or messages not addressed to all are not to be counted for the event. Save directory listings and message files for later proof of contact. Okay, they say you may make contacts with Green Cube IO-117, and each one will count as 3 points, as do other digital contacts. Please note, AMSAT uploaded messages do not count for QSUB points under the AWRO rules. And a sample satellite field day greetings file might say KK5DO space FD space EL29 and then class 2A, 20 participants. So that is all the information needed there for the field day exchange. Note that the message stated the call, the operating class, and where they were located, and the grid square, and how many operators were in attendance. Okay, then we have the operating class, and stations operating portable and using emergency power, as per the AWRL field day rules, are in a separate operating class from those at home connected to commercial power. On the report form, simply check off emergency or commercial for the power source. And be sure to specify your AWRL operating class, 2A, 1C, etc., or 1D if you're working at home. And finally, the satellite summary sheet should be used for submission of the AMSAT field day competition and be received by KK5DO via email by 11:59 p.m. Central Daylight Time on Monday, July the 23rd, 2024. This year, we are using the same due date as the AWRL, so that gives you about a month to turn your stuff in. The only method for submitting your log is via email to kk5do@amsat.org or kk5do@awrl.net. Says, I have not had a mail-in entry in a very long time, and unfortunately, I guess after this year, there won't be any more kk5do@amsat.org entries. Okay, it's always welcome for you to add photographs or other interesting information that can be used in an article for the AMSAT Journal. And you will receive an email back within 1 or 2 days from Bruce when he receives your email submission. If you do not receive a confirmation message, he says, I have not received your submission. Try sending it again or send it to my other email address. Certificates will be awarded for the first place emergency power or portable station at the AMSAT General Meeting and Space Symposium in the fall of 2024. Certificates will also be awarded to the second and third place portable emergency operation, in addition to the first place home station running on emergency power. A station submitting high award-winning scores will be requested to send in dupe sheets for analog contacts and message listings for digital downloads. You may have multiple rig difficulties, antenna failures, computer glitches, general disasters, tropical storms, and there may even be satellite problems, but the goal is to test your ability to operate in an emergency situation. Try different gear. Demonstrate satellite operations to hams that don't even know the hamsats exist. Test your equipment. Avoid making more than one contact via the FM-only voice hamsats or the ISS, and enjoy the event. And that's good information there coming from Bruce Page, KK5DO, AMSAT Director of Contests and Awards, and AMSAT Board Member 2016 through 2024, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT.net. And, of course, we are closing in on the bottom of the hour, so we've gone a bit past our quarter after time. But we're going to take a quick standby now, take a look around and see who we've got checking in via some of our other means. Oh, yes. Also, we want to remind everybody The phone number is 713-467-9870 for a quick phone check-in is now working again. So that's good news there with the internet and the phone service and TVs back working. It's almost like we're back in the 21st century. All right. Let's see here. There is the golf program and updates from the Hamvention Forum, and we'll be covering that here in just a couple of minutes.
BL-123.
Okay, of course we did hear from Herbert, KD5PQJ, and we got him checked in, and he was ready to run us here on Echolink again, so we'll appreciate that, but we didn't need it since we do have our connection going. So that's good news there. We did talk to Charlie, K5ENG, and sounds like he's been doing good over there and making some contacts and watching some NASCAR races, so that's always good news. And let's see here. We do have Kai, N6ZZO, and he's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he checks into the net and via the phone. And listens via the podcast on Wednesdays. So we appreciate that, and we should have our podcast back out there this Wednesday. Things turning back to normal, so that's good news there. Okay, we want to remind everybody that two thanks to Dale, WD0AKO, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we sure do appreciate that. And then, of course, there's Vern, WA0RCR, out there in Wentzville, Missouri, and he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as he likes to say. And that's at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we sure do appreciate Vern putting us on the top band there on the weekend. Okay, let's see. It's been a while since we've had any APRS check-ins. Let's see, we don't have any so far this evening. All right, looks like we don't have any more email check-ins at the moment. Let's see, from IRC. We've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, and Renee, NZ9T. All right, and we got a hello from Clay and from Rachie, which is Clay's wife. So we appreciate that, and we hope they're doing good tonight.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, let's see, from Echolink, looks like we got some people back aboard here. We have Steve, KA5YFC. Good evening, Steve. He was the first one who connected with us. So even though we hadn't been there quite ourselves the last couple weeks and have had to use some help, we're glad to still have some folks out there. We got Endoff, N6UTC, and of course he's over there in Long Beach, California, so we're hope he's doing good out there. We have Bob, K9OIM, good evening to you. And also to Jay, N0IUV. All right, hello to Damien, AG9P. He's over there in Oconto, Wisconsin. And then we've got Tom, NJ2DX. All All right, we want to say hello to AD0HJ, and that's Mitch. He's over there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet that happens on DMR. That happens over on the AmSat Digital Talk group of DMR 98006 or YSF Fusion of 11689. And that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So we appreciate Mitch continuing to have that net there on Wednesdays for us. So if you're going to be doing any roving or making any rare grid squares available on satellite, they would certainly like to know about that stuff. Okay, we've also got N1GDG. And that's Frank over in Nashua, New Hampshire. So good evening to Frank, and welcome to the Houston AmSatNet. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. One more reminder, you can call, check into the net, quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message to WV5Y, like West Virginia 5 Yankee. No dashes, no numbers, as Andy used to like to always say. And then you can also send an email, and that's to WV5Y at AmSat.org. Some golf program updates from the Hamvention Forum. For those who missed the AmSat Forum at the 2024 Hamvention, here is an excerpt from the engineering update presented by Jerry Buxton, N0JY, AmSat VP of Engineering, about the exciting golf program. Okay, some main events happening with the golf program. GOLF is the acronym for Greater Orbit, Larger Footprint. That's what typically happens when you put a satellite up into a higher orbit. The program is a series of satellites for flight testing and qualifications. We will be looking at testing various devices and systems that we will need as we move to higher Earth orbit. Each one carries an amateur radio payload that will continue once the main testing mission is complete. We're looking to increase orbital heights, but that is getting more difficult due to the orbital debris rules. Something that we have to harness before we get out of LEO is the ability to make accurate maneuvers and collision avoidance, because there's a lot of traffic up there now, and hopefully we'll be able to get beyond that. And ultimately, our perigee is still about 2,000 kilometers that exempt us from the orbital debris rules. But the fact that we can maneuver gives us the opportunity not only for deorbiting when we need to, but to raise or lower our orbit to a degree so we can have a longer mission. And speaking of longer missions, survivability is a big thing, especially as we get into the Van Allen radiation belt and such. As you get further away from low Earth orbit, there is a lot more radiation bombarding you. So the idea of radiation tolerance for commercial off-the-shelf parts or COTS parts, or in some cases, when we do a high Earth orbit or a GTO, we may want to use some radiation-hardened parts so we get the best life out of it. So what we're looking at is the lowest cost versus performance. It's a trade balance so we can keep as many satellites space as we successfully and return to high Earth orbit. In order to do this, we're going to master some satellite operations necessary for higher orbit. This doesn't include engineering. It includes operations who will be controlling the satellites. They will need a good understanding of what the satellites will do and have good instructions to know how to control them. Okay, some of the main things we need for going higher for the Gulf program are power generation. We're going to need more gain on your power amplifiers, for example, to help overcome the link budget. SDRs can get busy and require a bit of power. There are other systems that we will want to keep running as well as experiments. Power is a premium thing that we need and is getting power generated by the sun. Attitude, direction, and control systems. ADCS, something that is vital to control the satellite to point for the best sun or to maneuver. We have to be pointed very precisely if we're going to fire any thrusters. And we need to point our microwave antennas back towards the Earth. Radiation tolerance is essential to survival. In the older satellites, there weren't so many chips, the ICs, if you will. So the analog parts, the carbon resistors and such, were much hardier in the radiation belt. So that's one of the problems with the surface mount technology and the little tiny itty-bitty parts that they use. See, for microwaves, we're going to be moving into the microwaves. 10 gigahertz is the ultimate downlink band. There's a lot of bandwidth up there with 10 gigahertz X-band for downlink and 5 gigahertz, the C-band for uplink. Says we are also adding 2.4 gigahertz S-band uplink because that is shared with Europe and QO100. This thrust and propulsion will be the icing on the cake. We have to master all of this to be responsible spacefarers. And then at the Gulf T mission, we have Gulf T, which stands for Technology Exploration Environment. Key features of it are it has deployable solar panels that we're developing in-house. These address the need for more power. And we have secured CubeSpace ADCS that we will use for the attitude detection and control system. We were working earlier with a startup that would have given us the opportunity to fly cheaper and be a part of the development, but that did not come to fruition. We looked at a long list of possible ADCS systems and decided that CubeSpace would be suitable for our Gulf T, Gulf 1, and possibly beyond. And we have the RT-IHU, which is the radiation-tolerant internal housekeeping unit, which was developed as an Ascent project using COTS, commercial off-the-shelf parts, intended to reduce the number of upsets that cause the IHU to latch up and have to reboot. We're going to compare that to the IHU we had on the legacy LTM, linear transponder module, used in the Fox satellites to see if, with the South Atlantic anomaly problem, we are doing any better with resets on each of those IHU systems. And for the 10 gigahertz X-band, we're going to have experimental microwave high-speed data downlink, which is tricky at low Earth orbit, but as we get higher at high Earth orbit, there is a lot of data we will want to download, not to mention that from experiments. It also gives us the opportunity to possibly use it as a transponder, where we would pick off the downlink from the VU transponder and sit it down on 10 gigahertz as an entryway for people to try working with the microwave bands. For the Golf T mission, we're looking at a 500 to 550 kilometer low Earth orbit accessible through a CSLI LMA launch. Its purpose is to test and qualify new technologies. We will carry the Vanderbilt/ISDE low energy proton experiment that we have flown before. This will help provide a comparison of what the environment is like with the IHU, the RT-IHU, and the LIHU units. We should have a good radio footprint at 550 kilometers. It's orbital debris regulation friendly because it will decay rather rapidly with the current sunspot cycle. We'll see how that goes because when we go, we'll make a difference. And there's the Golf 1 mission. The goals for Golf 1 are the same as Golf T that are hopefully developed quite well. In the meantime, though, if there are things with the construction or during the on-orbit phases, then hopefully we will have time to make adjustments to improve on things. That's always the way you want to go with a series of similar satellites. This will be a typical mission versus the technology mission that Golf T is. We will carry STEM educational-based experiments. We have a high school in the San Diego area that wants to fly a camera for Earth weather views. We'll fly the Vanderbilt ISDE student radiation experiment again because there are a lot of students who'd like to put those things together and write papers. We'll expand the microwave SDR experimentation. We'll open up the 5 and dime, that's the 5 gigahertz uplink and 10 gigahertz downlink. Of course, at low Earth orbit, it's tricky at best. Nonetheless, it will be there for experimentation with Golf 1. Then the S-band, X-band transponder, which is a 2.4 gigahertz uplink and a 10 gigahertz downlink, such as QO100 has, that will be available. And we have a L-band 1.2 gigahertz uplink possibility. We aren't certain what that will be used for, perhaps commands. It's not a worldwide band, so depending on resources, probably concentrate primarily on the other bands. Again, we'll have a standard VU transponder operation. However, it will be the SDR, not the LTM, so it gives us the opportunity to make the transponder a variety of things, such as an FM repeater or a linear transponder. Okay, the readiness dates. The target readiness date for Golf T is December the 1st, 2025. The readiness date indicates to NASA that we are ready to hand it over for integrated integration. Integration is the activity when the satellite is put into the dispenser that then goes to the rocket. NASA holds off basically until our CDR, or Comprehensive Design Review, which will be March in 2025, and looking at that readiness date in order to judge when to find a good launch for us. The integration is typically 45 days prior to launch. Therefore, we would not see a launch until early 2026. But it could happen that fast, as they have been pretty good at lining up some launches. For Golf 1, the readiness date would be a year later, or December the 27th, 2026. Again, we want to look at everything we can learn from Golf T and put it into Golf 1 and make it better. And then there's going to be Golf 2 and beyond. From Golf 2 and beyond, the push for opportunities, I say it is a good push. Opportunities for higher and low Earth orbit are going to require specialized systems. We know that, and it's why Golf 2 will be testing more of these systems. The deorbit devices are just coming to commercial availability in CubeSats, which is very good. They were not available until just recently. We saw at the CDW CubeSat Developers Workshop quite a few companies with some items coming out that are helpful to us. We have a team looking at thrusters and propulsions in the Ascent group. Ascent meaning Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology. These things can be mastered. I like to use that word, developed and mastered in low Earth orbit. We'll be careful about what we fly so it will be a successful mission as we go for those higher and more expensive orbits. And I know they're thinking of AO40 and stuff like that where they had issues in the past trying to get to some of the higher orbits. So we want to thank Jerry Buxton in 0JY, AMSAT VP of Engineering, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV, from AMSATnet. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase through AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. I know we're way past our normal time, but at this point, we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any local late check-ins. So do we have any late check-ins on the local 145.19 repeater? Come now.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, this is Marty, MUV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. The AMSAT Ambassador Program is growing. A long-standing service of AMSAT has been its ambassador program, designed to bring the excitement and passion to amateur radio operators through local hamfests, conventions, and club meetings. One time referred to as field reps, and other times local area coordinators, the tradition lives on now in its recently revitalized format.
DL-123.
Current ambassadors have the opportunity to show off new apparel options, name badges, and booth signage, and display materials. And it looks like they got a nice new logo, the AMSAT Radio in Space AMSAT Ambassador. So, that's a good one, and I'm sure you'll be seeing that on future upcoming things there from AMSAT. And Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, has been tracking down previous members of the team while recruiting new members. As of this writing, the team has grown to 21 members since Hamvention 2024. And our current team members of the AMSAT Ambassador Program include... there's Mitch. Mitch Ahrensdorf, AD0HJ in Jackson, Minnesota. We've got Barry Baines, WD4ASW in Keller, Texas. Keith Baker, KB1SF in Port Huron, Michigan. Clint Bradford, K6LCS in Jurupa Valley, California. Let's see, we've got Chris Brown, NY9X in Gurnee, Illinois. Alex Kottner, KJ6YPG in Sanger, California. Tim Cunningham, NADEU in Huntsville, Alabama. Bob David Heiser, W5RBD in La Ferna, Texas. We have Jim DeLoach, WU0I in Sunnyvale, California. Philip Jenkins, N4HF in Fairview, North Carolina. There's Mark Johns, K0JM in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Frank Kanaskis, N1UW in Tucson, Arizona. We got Pat Kilroy, N8PK in Sykesville, Maryland. Frank Kontalak, N7ZEV in Las Vegas, Nevada. We have Bo Lowry, N4FCL in Louisville, Kentucky. Chad Phillips, KG0MW in Platte, South Dakota. Bill Raffis, KD4FRB in Weston, Florida. Okay, then last few folks here, we've got Don Rhodes, KB2YSI in Hamilton, New York. Jim Shings, AI4SR in Lexington, Kentucky. Bob Schussler, N5HYP in Irving, Texas. And Daryl Young, K4RGK in Roswell, Georgia. Also, check the upcoming events section later in this bulletin for upcoming events that will be attended by ambassadors. Say, if you are a veteran member of the team and would like to get active again, or if you would like to inquire about joining the AMSAT ambassadors for the first time, you're encouraged to contact Bo at blowrey@amsat.org, or you can visit www.amsat.org/ambassador for more information. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, K4FCL, Director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information.
North America.
from orbit on or about the 4th of June, 2024. And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 MHz worldwide. We have a completed contact with the Agrupamiento de Escuelas de Serafim Leite in San João de Madeira, Portugal, direct via CS2ASL, and they had ISS call sign was OR4ISS that they worked with crew member Matthew Dominic, KC0TOR. And the ERS mentor was Marcelo Tirel, IK0USO, and the contact was successful on Thursday, June the 6th, 2024. The crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a peel tone of 67, and 437.800 MHz is the downlink. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know when you might talk to an astronaut. The packet system is active on 145.825 MHz, up and down. And if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. You can find more information on mode for the ISS. It's over at current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.ars.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, HA9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information.